are Miss Knit," he said vaguely. "Are we all here, Vlad?" The bell stopped. A moment later, Lacrimosa descended. "You've still got her?" she said to Vlad, raising her eyebrows. "Oh, well." "I will just have a brief chat to the mayor," said the Count. "He appreciates being kept informed." Agnes watched him walk towards a small dumpy man who, despite getting out of bed in the middle of the wet night, seemed to have had the foresight to put on a gold chain of office. She noticed the vampires taking up positions in a line in front of the bell tower, about 4 or 5 feet apart. They joked and called out to one another, except for Lacrimosa, who was glaring directly at her. The Count was deep in conversation with the mayor, who was staring down at his feet. Now, across the square, the people were beginning to form lines. A couple of small children pulled away from their parents' hands and chased one another up and down the lines of people, laughing. And the suspicion bloomed slowly in Agnes like a great black red-edged rose. Vlad must have felt her body stiffen, because his grip tightened on her arm. "I know what you're thinking," he began. "You don't know what I'm thinking, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking," she said, trying to keep the tremble out of her voice. "You're..." "Listen, it could be so much worse. It used to be so much worse." The Count bustled. "Good news," he said. "3 children have just turned 12. He smiled at Agnes. "We have a little ceremony before the main lottery. A rite of passage, as it were. I think they look forward to it, to tell you the truth." "He's watching to see how you react," said Perdita. "Vlad is just stupid, and Lacrimosa would weave your hair into a face flannel if she had the chance. But this one will go for the throat if you so much as blink at the wrong time. So don't blink at the wrong time, thank you, because even figments of the imagination want to live." But Agnes felt the terror rising around her. And it was wrong, the wrong kind of terror. A numbing, cold, sick feeling that froze her where she stood. She had to do something, do anything, break its horrible grip. It was Vlad who spoke. "It's nothing dramatic," he said quickly. "A little drop of blood. Father went to the school and explained all about citizenship." "How nice," she croaked. "Do they get a badge?" It must have been Perdita behind that. She couldn't imagine Agnes being so tasteless, even in the cause of sarcasm. "Ah, no, but what a good idea," said the Count, giving her another quick smile. "Yes, perhaps a badge or a small plaque, something to be treasured in later life. I shall make a mental note of this. And so, let us begin. Ah, the mayor has assembled the dear children." There was a shout somewhere at the back of the crowd, and for a moment Agnes caught sight of a man trying to press forward. The mayor nodded at a couple of the nearby men. They hurried back into the crowd. There was a scuffle in the shadows. She thought she heard a woman scream suddenly muffled. A door slammed. As the mayor turned back, he met Agnes's stare. She looked away, not wanting to see that expression. People were good at imagining hells, and some they occupied while they were alive. "Shall we get on?" said the Count. "Will you let go of my arm, Vlad?" said Agnes sweetly. "They're just waiting for you to react," whispered Perdita. "Oh," said Agnes inside her head, "so I should just stand here and watch everybody else? I just pointed out what's been done to them. They're like pigs queuing for Hogswatch." "I think they saw reason," said Agnes. "Oh, well, just wipe that smile off Lacrimosa's face. That's all I ask." They could move very fast. Even a scream wouldn't work. She might be able to get in one good wallop, and that would be it. And perhaps she'd wake up as a vampire and not know the difference between good and evil. But that wasn't the point. The point was here and now, because here and now she did. She could see every drop of moisture hanging in the air, smell the wood smoke from damped-down fires, hear the rats in the thatch of the houses. Her senses were working overtime to make the most of the last few seconds.
"I don't see why,"
Lacrimosa's voice cut through the mist like a saw. Agnes blinked. The girl had reached her father and was glaring at him.
"Why do you always start?"
she demanded.
"Lacrimosa, what has got into you? I am the head of the clan."
"Oh, really? Forever?"
The Count looked astonished.
"Well, yes, of course. So we'll always be pushed around by you, forever. We'll just be your children, forever."
"My dear, what do you think you...
And don't try that voice on me, that only works on the meat. So I'll be sent to my room for being disobedient, forever."
"We did let you have your own rack.
Yes, and for that I have to...